I'm Herndon Shabor Steele, and this is the Prison to Purpose podcast. We believe your past doesn't have to define your purpose. Whether you're a young person trying to make a better decision, a returning citizen looking for hope, or someone who believes every life has value, you are welcome here. This isn't about glorifying prison. It's about showing that every setback can become the foundation for a greater purpose. Transformation is possible. Welcome back to the Prison to Purpose podcast. This podcast, this episode is being sponsored by the Fox Beard Collection. The Fox Beard Collection, it consists of beard butter, beard oil, beard balm, beard shampoo, and beard conditioner. So if you want your beard to look like my beard, then purchase this product. It's made of all natural ingredients. It will help your beard grow. It will revitalize your beard, make your beard shine. And I can assure you that the ladies will love it.
And it's also sponsored by Healthy Shake. You already know I got the healthiest, best tasting juices in the city. This juice will bring you life. Not life in prison.
That's right.
But it's going to bring you the other kind of life, freedom type of life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Sabasop, bitters, black seed bitters, y'all know the rest. You could purchase this www.thehealthyshake.com or my Instagram @_healthyshake, and the links are in my bio.
All right. So in our last segment, Celine, we discussed your journey before prison. And in this segment, we want to talk about your journey after prison.
The current journey.
The current journey that you're on. And because it's a lot that goes into coming home from prison. Coming home is just not as easy as people think it is. So the first thing I want you to tell our listeners is, how did your family and the community respond to you? And the reason I ask that question is because a lot of times when you're in prison for a long period of time, and you detached from your family, you know, that can cause a sense of family estrangement. Some family just ostracize guys when they come to prison. We've seen many guys who don't have no family support in prison.
Right.
So tell us, how is your relationship with your family and your community where you grew up?
When I came home, my family and my community welcomed me with open arms. Open arms, man. So I'm talking about, nobody was upset. Nobody was. You know what I'm saying? And my family, you know, they supported me for the whole, my whole life. Mm-hmm. Like my support didn't change when I went to jail. You know, of course, some of the, you know, friends, their support, you know, goes up and down throughout incarceration, but my family support stayed steady. Good. The entire time. So I was blessed, you know, Allah blessed me with that for sure, and I'm aware of that. And the community, my community support is on a being also. Like, when I came out, when I started my juicing thing, the business, my community was the first group of people that supported me. Once they knew I was home and they knew I had a product, so many people, you know, purchased just because of that, because they know me, they wanted to support me. And a lot of them were one-time customers, right? But that's okay. You know what I'm saying? Now they're starting to come back around now, you know what I'm saying? Being as though, you know, everybody else is starting to buy it, and they don't want to look like a one-off thing, you know what I'm saying? But so my community support was on the bean also.
So being in prison for that length of time, it didn't really have an effect on your relationships, family relationships.
No, no. Being in prison, it didn't affect my family relationships. I lost a couple friends, right? But it wasn't because they didn't like me. Mm-hmm. It just lost a couple friends because they had to continue on with their lives. Their lives went off into different places.
Right.
A lot of them moved. Like my neighborhood is different. Mm-hmm. Nice Town is different now. When I actually came home, my block, before I got locked up, my block was like the block in Nice Town. Anybody tell you, Rowan Street, that's the block. Block was popping. There's always something going on the row. But when I came home, it's a ghost town. It's a ghost town. There's nobody. Nobody's there now. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And you know that's a good thing because if I ever wanted to go back there, I could. Because
right,
anybody
right.
there. I still got a house on that block.
Right.
So who knows? I might go back and live there because it's so peaceful. Like it's just so quiet.
Mm-hmm.
But my community supported me 100%.
And I'm sure that's enabled you to thrive at what you're doing now, which we're going to get into your healthy shake business. But I'm sure having that family support and that community support enabled you to really focus on your business, the business part of your reentry. And that's how it was with me. You know, coming home after 38 and a half years, you know, I always had a close-knit family. And, you know, even during all those years in prison, you know, my family, they always included me in everything. Right, family events when they would get together for the holidays that they celebrate, all the they understood that I didn't celebrate those holidays,
mm-hmm.
but they always still included me,
right?
Like sending me pictures and stuff mm-hmm. like that, just mm-hmm. to let, you know. And so I always felt that sense of connection, you know, with my family,
right?
You know what I mean? And you know, as you know, 16 years prior to me coming home in 2009, I got married.
Uh-huh. You know, okay,
and. I can't talk enough about, you know, the level of support, man, that, as you know, man,
my
wife is giving me, man. I mean, you know, man, I get emotional when I talk about her.
Right,
I get emotional
right.
because, nah. you know, it's because of her, man, that, you know, and my family, you know, I'm able to do the things that I'm able to do. But more so, 85-90% of her. You know what I mean? Having everything laid out for me, man, when I came home where I didn't have to worry about food, clothing, and shelter. You know what I mean? And when I came home, she said, listen, she told me, she set me down, she talked to me, she said, listen, I know what kind of man you are. I know you are a provider. You know, I provided for you for the last 17 years of incarceration. Don't feel like you have to come out. You don't owe me anything.
Hmm.
You don't owe me anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's some things you want to do. You want to build your foundation. She said, go ahead and focus on that. You know what I mean? When you're able.
I wish I had that kind of wife who told me that.
When you're able to provide for me and do the things that you want to do for me, you can. But it's no pressure on you.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? And I can't even tell you, man, how comfortable that was for me
right.
to hear.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so I was able to focus on my things. And then my community, man, you know. I got choked with childhood friends, man. When I tell you, Celine, man, that Southfield, the P, as we call it, the P, you know, basically, man, laid the red carpet out for me when I came home, man.
Yeah, I seen it.
You know, I'm so grateful, man. A friend of mine, Aileen Hawkins, and my old head, Gabby, Leonard Evans. They got together, man. They had a little, you know, get together for me when I came home
yeah.
at a place where we all grew up playing ball.
I came there.
Carl Landry. He was there
in
Landreth, man. You know what I mean? And, you know, so many people, man, came out, man, and supported that event, man, and welcomed me home. You know what I mean? So it was a beautiful thing. And I'm thankful, man, to my man Aileen and my old head, man, Leonard Evans, Gabby. I love y'all and I appreciate that. But, you know, to come home to that kind of love and support, man, it's just, you know, it's an amazing thing. Let me ask you this. How difficult was it for you to find employment?
Oh, man, that's something that I'm still dealing with now, right? People in jail was always telling me, it's gonna be hard, you know, when we get out there to get a job because we've been away from the workforce for so long. We don't have a history, right. XYZ, So you know me, I'm always like, man, I ain't trying to hear that. Right. It ain't gonna be hard for me to get no daggone job. You just ain't looking in the right places, or you know, So, and he was right. You know, this is what actually led to me starting my own business, because I had to figure out a way to get some paper, because I wasn't asking my family for nothing.
Right.
Right. I'm looking at it like, y'all supported me the whole time. Y'all supported me my whole life. Mm-hmm. So and what I'm not going to do is be asking y'all for no money out here.
Right.
Right. I'm not going to be doing that. So.
Right.
And they get attest to that. Now I've been home over a year now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I might have asked for some money like one time.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something small, like something real small, something that ain't worth mentioning.
Right.
And I think that's it. Everything mm-hmm. else been me getting it the way I'm getting it, which I started my business, Healthy Shake, where I'm Philly's only mobile juicer, juicing fresh fruits and vegetables and only adding holistic remedies, no sugar, no water, and it took off for me. But I was brought on for onboarding at like five different jobs. Meaning I got past the first step.
Right.
Onboarding mean they brung you on.
Right.
Now they want to take you through these other things, and then you'll be working.
Right.
I got brought on boarding for five different jobs. I think it was half of them was, I know it was UPS.
Mm-hmm.
The Amazon and UPS, Amazon, and another delivery joint.
Mm-hmm.
They brought me on for onboarding, and then they, you know, didn't hire me because of my background and my lack of, you know, work history and
right
and all this stuff.
And so that actually, you know, takes us to my next question, was what are some of the barriers that returning citizens face? And that's one of the main barriers, you know, unable to find employment. And I know me personally, I've applied, man, for so many jobs, you know, in Philadelphia and Delaware, where I live at. One place in Delaware, it was for a janitor's job. Of all jobs, a janitor just pushing a mop and sweeping a broom. A broom and mop job, man. And the lady, she called me. I was in Planet Fitness. I'm working on Planet Fitness. She called me, you know, told me who she was calling from this company, and she applied for a job, this, that, and the third. And she's looking at a computer. She's scrolling down. She said, oh, wait. And she actually told me, we have the position that you applied for is open. That's what she called me, because the position was open.
Right. She was about to give it to me.
She said, oh, wait. She said, oh, I see you was incarcerated. Right. I said, yes, I was. She said, how long were you incarcerated? And I'm not going to lie, but because it's easy. It's public information.
Right.
So I said, 38 and a half years. She didn't even ask me what for. She just said, okay, well, we'll contact you when the position becomes available. I want to say so bad, miss. You just told me the position was available.
Right. You just ever.
So I was hung up, man, and went back to working out, man. But, you know, I literally sat on the edge of the bed after being denied so many employment opportunities, man, and I cried.
Wow.
And my wife helped me. She said, don't worry, babe. She said, maybe Allah has another plan for you. That's what she told me.
Wow.
She said, maybe Allah has another. I feel like, you know, we come home behind the eight ball.
Yes.
The PPA.
Right.
I applied, gave me an interview, ran me through human resources. They got a company called Accurate, that's out in California,
yes. Okay.
That does their background checks.
That's right.
I had my background check in my phone. And what I already, you had talked about that before. And they look, the background, it comes back. I wasn't exonerated.
Right. Me neither.
You know, we were both forced to plead guilty. Plead guilty to third-degree murder for a crime you didn't commit. Although the evidence says you didn't commit the crime, we're not going to exonerate you.
Mm-hmm.
City don't want to pay nobody no more money.
Right, so it looked like you just got convicted.
Right, and so what it says, you have to plead guilty to third degree murder. Now, when these companies do background checks,
that's what they see.
That's what they see.
And it's not beyond 7 years.
Exactly. What they see is conviction, third degree murder, March 2025.
That's like I just got convicted. It looking like we just got convicted of murder last year.
And so I was denied the job because of that. So, you know, these and this is why the Prisoner Purpose Foundation, this is why we implemented the reentry initiative in our foundation. Because, you know, in light of this David Lee ruling that I want you to get into because you're the lawyer.
A lot of guys
are going to come home. And some guys are going to be able to get jobs like that. But The vast majority of them are not.
Most of them are not.
They're coming home behind the eight ball. They're not able to get employment. And so through my foundation, we're trying to build a reentry program, solar panel, where guys go through the solar training, they get hooked up with a solar company, and they get a job.
Right.
We want to give them a stipend, provide the transportation so they don't have to come out of their pocket for anything. You know what I mean? And, you know, that's a lot of greater success and doing that, man. But, you know, these are some very, very, very serious barriers that guys face, you know, when they come out here.
Right.
You know what I mean? And when we was in prison, I used to always say, man, you know, guys will come back. And to me, there was no justification for coming back to prison.
Yeah, right.
You know, but I got to be honest, man, from being out here and seeing how guys are treated when they come home from prison, right? You know, I wouldn't do it because I'm blessed to be in a situation where I don't have to do nothing illegal. I don't have to sell drugs or go to the streets or do anything. That's not everybody's situation. That is not everybody's situation. And so I can see, I don't condone it, but I can see why a guy would feel like he got to go back to selling drugs or hustling or doing whatever he feel he got to do illegally.
After he's tried
so many times to get a job, and the doors get shut in his face at every single turn. It's hard, man. It's hard. And no man wants to be broke. No man wants to come home and be a liability to himself and his family.
His family, right.
You know what I mean? Right. And so, you know, it becomes hard for guys, man. So these are the kind of barriers that housing, you know, nobody wants to come home and have to live with a family. Some family members, you've been in jail a long period of time, you don't have that connection with your family no more now. Especially if they wasn't there for you a whole bit. And it's hard. This is no knock on families.
Yeah.
It's hard out here on people's families, man. And some families just don't have the financial means to support guys in prison. And a lot of people are under this misconception that it's cheap to live in jail. No, it's not.
Gotta go to a store.
Let me tell you something.
Gotta get phone time.
The store prices are outrageous. The cable's outrageous. You know, the cheap sneaks they sell you, they're not cheap. They're cheap in quality.
Man, cable went up to $26,
man. I mean, you know, it's hard, man. So to the families out there that's listening, if you have a loved one in prison, you know, just support them to the best of your ability, because it's not easy on them in there. It's extremely difficult, and you always want to try to maintain that family connection, because guys returning home from prison need support out here. They need support. So what barriers would you say employers need to understand?
They need to understand that. They need to understand that for example, with that Derrick Lee decision,
right,
was going to lead to a lot of second degree people that's convicted of second degree murder is going to lead to a lot of them being back in society at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to say on their record, it's going to say second degree murder. It's going to say that they got released from a second degree murder sentence or whatever. But it's going to make it look like it just happened.
Right.
So we got to figure out a way to, but if we go through city council or go through the legislature some type of way, to where as though it says on our background,
right,
it says this is the date of the, you know, where you get renegotiated, whatever the deal you took,
Right.
Like for us, it say third degree, but it make it look, like it's 20-25, like somebody just died in 20-25.
Right.
We gotta get it to where though it could be like a, either they take that off of there, or have like a little asterisk by it, or something, and then it say refer to something else, and then it tells you like, no, this actually was from your in your case from 1986.
Right.
And in my case, 2002. So I think that'll shed another light on this situation for employers or people that deal with background checks, like those companies that send that information to those employers. They just see that and they automatically be like, man, this dude just got convicted of third degree. Like, the first question they probably ask themselves is, how is the dude even home?
I mean, you know, I don't me personally, I don't think they're asking themselves that, because I mean,
I think they're seeing it and they're just like, I don't want, you know, that, like, you just did it.
It's impossible. Virtually impossible for a man to be convicted of third degree murder in 2025 and can be home applying for a job.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. You're right about that. But for those people, they have other things. They have like requirements. One of the requirements is that your conviction be 7 years old. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So that's why I'm applying for these places. Like, well, that joint was from back in 2002.
My conviction 30 and a half years.
But they're looking at it like, well, no, you saying that, but the joint say 2025.
I mean, I get it.
You know what I'm saying? So maybe you got to talk to some people, talk to the legislature some type of way to where they could put that on them, make that be a part of our record also.
Mm-hmm. Like, I talked to.
Because that's going to be a hindrance. It's a hindrance for us.
It's amazing.
So you know it's going to be a hindrance for these second degree boys. So.
Right. And it's a hindrance for, I talked to Sean Weaver, a couple weeks ago. He made commutation.
Right.
Right, as you know. After 50 years.
Yeah, so his say second degree. No, his say first. He had first, didn't he?
Sean had second, I believe. Mm-hmm. You know, but and he was telling me how he applied for a TWIC card.
Right.
And then did the same thing with me. I applied for a TWIC card when I first came home. My homie took me, tried to get the TWIC card to try to get a job down the waterfront. They denied me. Your friends said, man, you got to keep reapplying, keep applying.
That's what somebody told me. Yeah, I never applied.
You know, once I started, I was getting denied job at the job at the job at the job. And like my wife, when she told me, man, she says, babe, the law has another plan for you. It might not be the work. Maybe your foundation.
Right.
And my foundation, Prison of Purpose Foundation, was easy for me to build. And I'm still building it now. Law made that easy for me. Mm-hmm. You know, there was no barriers in the way. All I need now is to try to get, you know, funding so I can incorporate the programs that I want to incorporate for the youth. And for returning citizens.
May law facilitate that for you.
I mean, but, you know, it's definitely... Not an easy thing. So now, you're home, you're married, you have your healthy shake bin. I see you bought two of them with you.
Mm-hmm.
Are they the only two kinds that you have?
No, I got a whole lot of flavors. That's yours. That's Kiwi Glow. That's to make your skin glow. Kiwis make your skin glow.
What are you trying to say? My skin ain't glowing?
Sure thing. Kiwi Glow, man. Kiwi Glow. Kiwis make your skin glow. That's why I named it that. Mm. Kiwi, pineapple, orange, ginger root, turmeric, black seed oil, and bitters. No sugar, no water, so it's in its purest form. That's why I gotta freeze it. And that's what I got for you.
Okay, so you got Kiwi Glow.
I got my top seller, Soursop Supreme. My number two top seller, High Yella. My number three, Ruby Remedy. I got Spirulina Green. I got Mango Kiwi Strawberry, Pineberry Melon. And I just came up with one for the runners. It's called Runner's Gold. This is what I be giving up to the people that run their little 5Ks, and they 5Ks, and we got Philly Midnight Run. I'm gonna be out there with the runners go for that. Uma on the move. I'm with them on the run club stuff. So that's for the runners, man. I got a whole lot of flavors. I got 3-day detoxes. I do custom orders. I got half a gallons for 40, but I'm on a I'm doing a flash sale right now for the next week for $35 for half a gallon, and this is what we on.
Now, you know I'm a critic.
Yes.
You know I'm a juice. I'm a juice connoisseur.
I already know, man.
Right. So, but that thing mean.
That keep you glow.
Oh my goodness.
That keep you glow, man.
Oh man.
That's keep you glow,
man. This is it right here.
It be pure, man. And I learned something at the Islamic Heritage Festival. I had met the person that got authentic beverages. He's in a lot of stores. You see a little he at every store almost. And I was able to talk to him, and he told me there's a difference between a juice and a drink. A drink means that it is less than 30% of real juice. That's what a drink is. They labeled it, the Department of Agriculture labels your beverages, juices or drinks, based off of the amount of real fruit juice that you got in your drink. So when I told him that mine's is all juice, no water, he said they're gonna label your drink as a juice, because juice meaning that it's 30% or more. So I said, well, they might label mine a little bit higher than that, because they're gonna have to come up with another category, because mine's 100%. You remember what I'm saying? So that's juice.
So it's,
you
know, it's saying? No water.
No water. You can't even see through it. And that's another difference. When you buy any juices from these people and you can see through it, they don't got a juice. They got a drink. Because you can see through it. A juice, you can't see through it. Because ain't no water and you can't see through. You can't see through none of my juices. And it's made like that intentionally.
Now, I had a juice that I had got. I forgot, I bought it off of them. And I couldn't drink. It burnt my throat.
We had too much ginger?
Too much, yeah.
You know, I think I know exactly who you're talking about, too.
It was too much. I couldn't drink it. You know, but this.
And it has ginger in it also.
It got.
You can taste the ginger.
I can taste the ginger, but it doesn't burn my throat.
And that right? was and that was from through trial and error, because when I first came out, I had too much ginger in it. So I had to cut half the ginger out. So it only had half the amount that I was normally putting, and that actually gave it the perfect blend.
Oh, wow, yeah.
It actually gave it the perfect blend.
Mm. Yeah. So you do deliveries?
I do deliveries. I'm about 4,200 bottles sold now.
Are you in stores?
I'm in two stores. I'm in one store called Blue South that's in Lansdowne. I'm in another store called Duke's Cafe in Horsham, PA. And then my third store, inshallah, is going to be Banana Moose right there on 52nd and...
That's the name of a store?
Yes, Banana Moose. They sell milkshakes. They sell milkshakes and all types of frozen treats. So that'd be my third store, inshallah. I got to go down there. So that's what it is. And then I'm open to any other stores that want me in there. My number to come in there, as far as price, it's easy. It's a good number. It's a good number for both of us.
You don't want to share that number right now.
No, I can't share that number right here. Call me, DM me, text me.
Yeah.
We can discuss that number.
My final question, real quick, is for guys that's all women that's coming home from prison, what will be your best advice to give returning citizens?
My best advice to give returning citizens is easy. I already got this right here on top of my head. If most of the guys want to come on, if you talk to them and there, they all say they want to start driving trucks. You might as well go and get your.
CDL.
I think you could do the written thing in there.
Okay.
And then you gotta do the driving thing out here. But get that written thing. Get that written certification I think they got something called a universal driver's license or something. It's something I forgot what the name of it was. But they got it in jail. They ask for that when you go. To do the CDL here. They asked you if you got that, and I didn't have it, but I remember seeing it in jail as a program. So for those returning citizens, the brothers and sisters that's in jail, I wanted to do truck driving. I wanted to drive trucks, but I wanted to be an independent contractor from the gate, and I wanted to get my own little box truck and then start from that, because that kills two birds with one stone. What those two birds are is it gets you to a bag quickly, mm-hmm. and it gets you out the way.
Right.
It gets you out the way because you always doing a delivery. You going out. If you do, a lot of dudes come home, they doing regional. Mm-hmm. Regional meaning that you can hit New Jersey, New York, Connecticut. You know what I'm saying? Then you got the cross country. That's where you get the most money from. Mm-hmm. Where you be gone for about 10 days, mm-hmm. but you coming back with like $3,000. You know, wow. what I'm saying? So, wow. but you going to Cali? You going from Philly to Cali, and then you doing that route. That route gonna take you about 2 weeks, but you can come back with like $3,000. That's what I'm saying. That's the quickest way for our returning citizens to get a bag and get out the way.
And that's some very, very profound advice. Well, thank you for being a guest on the show. And our takeaway from this episode is that reentry is not just about coming home, but reentry is about coming home and building a productive life.
Yes.
As a citizen out here. That's what true reentry is about. Prisoner Purpose Foundation is here to help you out with that. So contact us when you come out, prison.purpose@gmail.com. And we'll see about if we can get you hooked up with some reentry work and so that you can be on your way to living as a productive citizen. I'm Herndon Sabor Steele, Prisoner Purpose Podcast. Thank you for tuning in. Until next time, be safe.